Unibet. Episode 116. Greg Holst, Spieler und Trainerlegende und Puls 24 Eishockey-Experte.
There's no use wasting any time. If there's something on your bucket list, you know, that you want to do, achieve or see, you have to do it, because I've been putting off trips so long, and friends of mine, family members, they say, what are you waiting for? Like, go test it out. Spend 20 days or a couple of weeks in Mexico. You've been talking about Alicante, Spain for a couple of years now. How is it? Well, I haven't been there yet because I keep putting things off, because I'm either on the ice with the kids, or I'm doing TV, or I'm occupied in this hockey world. So I'm glad I did it. I got a feel of Mexico, which I really enjoyed. And importantly, I timed it that I will be back for the playoffs, which is one of the most exciting times of the year.
Die Tribüne erhebt sich. Und der Hexenkessel kocht. Da bleibt kein Moment, um einmal durchzuatmen. Bring it on. Mit dem Torhänder abgefälscht und die Scheibe im Tor. Aus dem Nichts. Wie schön war das gemacht.
Unibet Hockey O'Clock. He is back. Finally, it's great to have him on Unibet Hockey O'Clock. Again, it's been a couple of months. He had a well-deserved vacation and is now on the Unibet Hockey O'Clock line. It's, of course, none other than legendary player, coach, and, of course, pundit on Pulse 24. It's Greg Holst. Coach, so great to finally be talking to you again.
Well, Martin, nice to be back. I did have a nice break in Montreal, which was winter, but Mexico was quite nice. And it is nice to be back for the playoffs.
Got a lot of questions the other day or the other weeks regarding when's Greg Holst returning. So obviously you've been missed, but lead me through your vacation plans and obviously to a big New Year's Eve surprise.
Well, you know, mom and dad's going to be 94. Mom's going to be 93. So, you know, every chance I get, I think it's important to visit them in Montreal, which is hockey country, as we all know. So I decided to fly there for December 30th, surprise them on New Year's Eve before I had my trip to Mexico. So I do surprise them a lot. And I walked in their condo and I kind of snuck in. They didn't hear me coming. My mom walked through the kitchen. And she saw me, and she stopped, and she stared at me like I was some freaking ghost. She didn't say a word for about 5 seconds. And then she yelled, "You did it again." So it was nice. I spent 9 days there. Very important, you know, seeing them, my family, my friends. Then I went on to Mexico, and after the Mexico trip, I paid 4 more day visit to Montreal to see them on my way back.
What people out there probably don't ponder that often or too often is just how important it is to get away. I mean, everybody in Austria normally has 5 weeks of vacation, and you schedule it probably most or more often than not around your children's vacation. But in hockey, there's really no time to take a time out from September to hopefully April when it gets down to the nitty-gritty. But how important is rest? How important is vacation, especially for someone like you who's at an advanced age, I'd say?
Well, you know, in a couple of weeks I'm going to be 69, which is hard to believe, just because there's no use wasting any time. If there's something on your bucket list, you know, that you want to do, achieve or see, you have to do it, because I've been putting off trips so long, and friends of mine, family members, they say, what are you waiting for? Like, go test it out. Spend 20 days or a couple of weeks in Mexico. You've been talking about Alicante, Spain for a couple of years now. How is it? Well, I haven't been there yet because I keep putting things off because I'm either on the ice with the kids or I'm doing TV or I'm occupied in this hockey world. So I'm glad I did it. I got a feel of Mexico, which I really enjoyed. And importantly, I timed it that I will be back for the playoffs, which is one of the most exciting times of the year. With 4 or 5 games left now, it's a grind getting into the top 6 and top 10. And then we run through the playoffs and we grind it out, which is exciting. And my plan is earning a trip to Alicante, Spain in May. So I like to earn my trips, but I have to make sure I do it. I can't just keep postponing things I want to do in life. Because my dad told me one time, and I think I told you this, he said, you better enjoy your life because when you're 6 feet under, you don't get a 3-week try. It's not a holiday. So when you're, hey, enjoy your life while you're living, while you're healthy, check off all your list, your bucket list, and get it done.
True words seldomly have been spoken, but as regards your Mexico vacation, is there one thing that you take away from the trip where you say, this is the reason why you have to visit Mexico? Is there one thing that you're trying to look back on where you say, oh boy, this has been great?
Well, you know, Florida, I've gone to Florida my whole life. I've lived in Florida for 4 months a year for eight years. I love walking the beach. There's no more relaxing time in my life, whether it's getting away from the stress of being a player or a coach, is going to the beach, walking the beach in the beautiful weather, clear water. It was absolutely beautiful. You know, 3, 4 o'clock, you crack open a couple of beers. Boy, that's pretty good life. Plus, I walked a lot. I walked about 360,000 steps in 18 days. Always walking outdoors. I was golfing on a beautiful golf course. So, and you know what it is too? It's the mentality of all the people. Everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's smiling. It's just really enjoyable. I really enjoyed it.
You've been retired for quite some time, and we just the other day celebrated the retirement of Kevin Modra. And one thing that he mentioned during an interview with our field reporter kind of stuck with me. He's like, the one thing about playing and being on a team he's definitely not going to miss are the bus rides. How was that with you, and how did that potentially change going from player to coach to now retirement?
Well, I'll put it this way. We call the bus the iron lung. So when I played in the AHL, we would play sometimes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'd play in Rochester, over to Springfield, over to Maine, whatever it was. We were on the bus all the freaking time. Then I get called up to the NHL for my few stints, and you're hopping on the airplane. It's like a completely different world. So let's go over to Austria now. The trips aren't over long, but I actually, as a player, I didn't find them as tough as when I was coaching. I think maybe because I was older. And you know how many times we went from Phylac to Dornbirn or Fehervar the same day? We would travel, you know, financial reasons, you know, getting hotels and the budget was tight. Those were like almost 20-hour days. And by the time you're getting home, 5, 6, and as a coach, you're looking at video, you can't sleep, you're thinking about 20 players. As a player, you kind of sit in the back, you have a couple of beers, and you kind of crash. But I found it tougher as a coach because of my age, because of what's on your mind, especially after tough losses. You know, you can't just turn off the switch. Geez, we let that one slip, or the guys didn't show up. So I found that as a coach, my 9 years in Phylac, the bus was tougher than when I was a player.
A lot of coaches don't have the luxury to really get away during the season. And I talked extensively to our former broadcasting colleague, Phil Lucas, this past Sunday in Linz, who's now a head coach with the Steinbach Black Wings. Are there any recommendations from your side for current coaches and players how to try to get away from things, even though we all know it's potentially very hard to really get away from it?
Yes. Yes, there is. And I did this my last year here. And when I was in Selim, say, for 3-4 months, a couple of years back, I would get on the bus after the game and I would put music on. I put my headphones on. I'd either put a nice podcast, which was nothing to do with hockey, just about life, a life podcast, or I would listen to really quiet music. And I found that kind of, I put my feet up and I could actually listen to tunes. Even though you know me, I can be pretty freaking wired up. The music after the game actually took my mind off it and I got into a little bit of my own world. So I would definitely say headphones, some nice podcast, or some nice music.
Obviously, it kind of goes against the program or the podcast that we're trying to do here. Hopefully, a lot of people and players and coaches are still listening to Unibet Hockey O'Clock. But if they don't, they got a perfect recommendation for what to do and what to enjoy when really trying to get someone's mind off hockey. But when we stick in with hockey and hockey talk, how did you follow everything that unfolded in the Ice Hockey League during your time away?
Well, what do you think, Mark? What do you think? Do you think I got up in the morning? Well, think about this. 6 o'clock, I'm up at 6. The sun's coming up shortly. I'm having a coffee. What do you think I was looking at on my internet?
The scores?
NHL, the Ice Hockey League, Tom Brady, every day, all the time. I followed it closely. And not just because, well, you know, because I am coming back to players, I want to keep up to date. There's some great stories in the league and I follow them. And whether it's Innsbruck's story or Lynch's story with playing with so few imports still in the top six, is Innsbruck the big surprise? Salzburg's hanging around again like usual. Fehervar just can't seem to get it going, even though last game they won 1-0. I follow it closely.
You mentioned a couple of interesting stories to look at and surprises that are still kind of going strong. What is the still biggest thing for you as we're talking about the championship run or as we're getting closer to the playoffs as regards the Ice Hockey League?
Well, the biggest surprise, which Innsbruck is not a huge surprise. It's not a huge surprise.
It's not
that
really?
Not that they're in the top six. It's a big surprise that they have 29 wins, the most wins in this league. And them beating Salzburg last game was a huge statement. 3,000 fans. I talked to a good friend of mine who was at the game. He said they played great. That was a massive win for their confidence. I mean, you got to beat Salzburg first, 3-1. So I think their run started last year because they were really good last year. They won 8 or 9 in a row, and then they had the COVID problems. So they started to build it last year. Then they lost their mojo. And Mitch O'Keefe and Pettavilla, those coaches, they've done an unbelievable job because they took that atmosphere, that team chemistry, right into this season. And one thing, I got to take my hat off to the organization. They get good freaking players. Every year, not only are they talented, but they fall into that team chemistry. And it's team first. That's not easy to find. But that goes back to their coaching. So my hat off. They got a good solid goalie. It's an exciting team. I didn't think they could be a top six from what they did last year. But where they are right now with 29 wins, that's a fantastic story.
And they're only 4 points out of first place. Obviously, Salzburg with a game to give, but hats off to Innsbruck, and that's why we kind of want to keep the fire burning, so to speak, in Innsbruck, and that's why Hockey O'Clock is going to Innsbruck. This upcoming Saturday, we're going to host Hockey O'Clock on tour, and we're going to have Mitch O'Keefe and Innsbruck legend Klaus Dalbjerz on the show, which hopefully is going to be a great event for fans to attend to. It's happening on Saturday at the TIVAG Arena in Innsbruck at 6 30, hopefully a lot of you are going to be there. More about this in the break on this podcast. But if we're looking at the standings, coach, is it fair to say that we're talking about a three-class, maybe even four-class society in the league? We've got the leaders, Innsbruck, Bolzano, and Salzburg. We get Villach kind of stuck in between, but then we got the fight for top six that's going on, and then we got a fight for the pre-playoffs that's going on. And if we really look way down in the standings, it's the Pioneers and Ljubljana who probably don't have a real shot. Three-class society, four-class society, it doesn't really matter. But are those the tiers that we're currently talking about in the league?
Well, I'd say the top tier is probably six teams, maybe seven. I would say Felix in that. You know, we talked about early in the year when we talked on a podcast, we talked about what teams have a chance of winning the title. And, you know, we had four or five teams, and I also included Felix. And I know that some people in Felix said, oh, no, that's not our goal. You know, our goal is top eight. I said, if your goal is top eight with that team, you have the wrong goals. So they have proven, I know, picking up Lucchini and stable in nets and with JP Lamoureux, that was their biggest miss the last couple of years. But just back to, if you don't mind me just mentioning a surprise besides Innsbruck, I'd have to say Linz, that they could stay in these top six. I mean, how many imports are they playing with? Five or six? Six, seven, okay. And they have they had a couple out last game, and they came back to get a point against Villach. That's a great story for the coaching, you know, for Lucas and company. But all those Austrians that are getting the opportunity, and they're hanging in there, and they have an outside chance of staying in the top six, which is huge. I think your next game is in Vienna, which, you know, that's basically a top six game. So I just wanted to throw in that and give a compliment to Linz. You've got two or three times they've sold out the room. It's a great story. Okay, back to your question. Sorry to get off track there. I think you've got Bozen, Salzburg, Innsbruck, Villach, Vienna, Klagenfurt, Fehervar. You can't count any one of those teams out, because if a goalie gets hot, if special teams get hot, you have to look at, okay, are we healthy? How's the special teams? How's our 5-on-5 play? Are we willing to block shots and play, give it all we have? Any of those teams, I feel, can win. Fehervar is a bit of a surprise for me that they only have, I think, 60 points. I thought they would be right there at the top. I'm not sure what's going on there, but if they sneak into the playoffs, they're going to probably be a defensive-orientated team, so they could be dangerous. Cartier's not healthy. Last year, they looked flat at the end. I did think they would all bounce back with great years, getting the other opportunity, all those imports. But every now and then, they look great. So with Kaw coming back, Howden coming back, you've got a goalie that can steal games. You cannot count Cartier out. I'd say there's seven teams that have an opportunity to win the championship. That's fantastic.
Anyone from the outset looking in as it stands right now from the pre-playoffs positions in the standings where you think, okay, if this team catches fire at the right time, they might be a force to be reckoned with?
Well, you have Cartier, you have Felix, you have Linz. For them to win it all is an outside chance. I don't think that is going to happen. But you have Cartier and Vienna battling for that top six spot. And now next in line is Fehervar. So are you trying to tell me that whoever's in first place is going to pick Fehervar? Or they're going to pick Vienna? Or they're going to pick possibly Klagenfurt? No, it's not going to happen. They're going to go after Graz. Pustertal plays Graz next game. That's basically for the top 10.
As much win and year in as it possibly is around this time of the year.
Yeah, well, winning, you're in. It's going to be freaking. Hey, what a game. That's going to be in Graz. I honestly thought when they picked up Jogan, and the coach had some great, we saw him talk on that interview when we were on TV. I thought Graz was going to pull this together and somehow be really good. They just haven't seemed to, they just can't seem to get it. I don't know what's going on there. I'm not in the dressing room. I don't know. That's a little bit surprising to me. Pustertal, Boltsy's not a surprise. You know how good they always can be. Pustertal is somewhat of a surprise. Remember Anton? He thought Pustertal could be right up hanging around. I mean, they got 12 imports and good goaltending. That kind of surprised me, and I'm sure it surprised Anton Bernard too. So that's a surprise that they are where they are.
I have to tone it down a notch. Obviously, the game between Graz and Pustertal is not a win and you're in scenario because there's so much more hockey to be played. But it could be kind of deciding, or it could be a game that's vitally important for everything that unfolds thereafter. It's going to be interesting. It's going to remain interesting. And that kind of brings us to the international break. If we just look at the teams and how they performed, this might be a good time, or this might be indeed a bad time that the international break is coming up. If you look at Villach winning 9 out of the last 10 games, they would probably like to keep their momentum and their win streak rolling. But if we look at it from the other side, which team do you think wanted that break the most?
Well, I agree with you a lot of times, but I disagree on the Felix. Because, and I'll tell you why. J.P. Lamoureux needs rest. Because if he goes down, you know, I know Schmidt could get called back up from Kitzbühel. He's playing now, which is great. And he could do the job, but J.P. Lamoureux needs a break. And if you, when I watched the game the other night, Lynch there, Felix was okay. They weren't great. They scored 3 goals from almost nothing. Quality scoring chances, Lynch had as many, if not more. So I think just to get away from the rink, get away, they got that win with a puck just squeaking over the line from Sabalich and a penalty shot. I think for them, they're okay, this is a good time to get a rest, especially for their goaltender. So now you look at the teams. Okay, which teams have injuries? Innsbruck, getting that win is exciting because they had lost a couple in the last couple weeks, 2 or 3. I think they lost 3 in a row at one point. So with Haluka out, they want to come back. Okay, we're sitting in a great spot. The win against Salzburg gives us all kinds of energy for our training camp, which is coming up in the break, or our practice times. We're going to hopefully get our big player back. For Innsbruck, it's a good time. Now, let's take a look at Klagenfurt. You have Kork out, Houdam out, Peterson out, and I think you mentioned one more player out. This comes at a good time because they're going to come back healthy. And they've won a couple games now. So they're going to also go into the break with high energy after a couple days off in practice and getting their top players back, a couple of top players. Very good timing for Klagenfurt, and I also think for Felix and Innsbruck because of their top player.
Now, this is something that we've done in the past a couple of times. We're approaching the playoffs. It's less than a month until the pre-playoffs and the start of the quarterfinals. If some listeners out there indeed are new to Hockey O'Clock and everything that happens in league circles, why are the playoffs indeed the best time of the year?
Look, if you played 44 games plus your pre-playoffs, so now you've eliminated the teams that did make the top 10. Okay, so you'd have to kind of think, okay, the top 6. Okay, so now we go, well, the pre-playoffs, that's dangerous. It's best of 3. So that first home game you got to win that game. So best of three, that is a short, intense series. But now if you go to the quarterfinals, you're going to play first against whoever they pick. And you have to win four times. So what happens in the playoffs is you build up these rivalries. You play a team maybe seven times. But after the second game, you do not like each other. Now it goes game four. You have to keep your discipline, but you also do not like them. You have to have that killer instinct mentality. We hate these guys. It's hate in the right reasons to want to win the game. Now, as you know, TV, it's game five, game six, elimination game. You lose, you go home. You have overtime now, elimination games, until they score. It's freaking exciting. And of course, we all love game sevens. And game seven in overtime can happen. And there's nothing better. Now look at us last year. We went down to Fehervar. How loud were the fans? The fans are more excited. It's the best time of the year. You battle all year to get to this position. And a possible game seven at home for some team that's earned it, it comes down to one game.
Chills down my spine. I think we're going to take
I just get excited thinking about it. That's why I didn't stay in Mexico.
That's a very good thing. That's also why we take a quick break. And after the break, we're going to talk about the National Hockey League.
We bet hockey O'Clock.
Unibet Hockey O'Clock geht auf Tour. Am 11. Februar 2023 gibt es in der Innsbrucker TIVAG Arena Hockey Talk vom Feinsten. Ab 18.30 Uhr diskutieren im VIP-Bereich der TIVAG Arena Haie Head Coach Mitch O'Keefe, Innsbruck-Legende Klaus Dalpiaz und Martin Pfanner. Sichere dir Tickets aus dem streng limitierten Kontingent für die Aufzeichnung von Unibet Hockey O'Clock on Tour. Alle Infos dazu gibt es auf unibet.at. Unibet Hockey O'Clock on Tour. Das ist Eishockey Talk im Langformat mit Tiefgang und vor allem vor Ort. Am 11. Februar live in Innsbruck.
Unibet Hockey O'Clock.
As we're doing, or as we just did, a little bit of promo on everything that happens this Saturday in Innsbruck. Hockey O'Clock on tour, obviously with Mitch O'Keefe and Klaus Dalpiaz. What's your favorite tale from everything that unfolded in Innsbruck when you played there? I know it's a loaded question, but is there one tiny little episode that you keep looking back on where you say, oh my?
Well, you know, we talked about it last time we did a live podcast in Linz. And there's so many stories. There's so many great stories. There's so many disappointing stories, losing in finals, etc. But if you look back when I get off the plane, 45 years off the plane in Innsbruck 5 days ago. And I landed through the mountains. I flew in from Frankfurt. And I actually remember 45 years ago, 1978, landing at the same airport. It's just a little bit bigger. 45 years ago, I had bell bottoms on. I was the only guy out of fashion in the country. And we talked about the warm beer and the honey, which was not honey, it was schmaltz. And you know, the guys like Switzer and those old guys, Switzer, the Buchards, they were teaching me German words. And of course, I'm ready to learn. And I had to say this when I went into a restaurant or meeting a girl. They told me all the wrong stuff to say. I almost got slapped a few times. So they had a lot of fun with me. And just my first, I'm coming out of playing in the American Hockey League finals in May, and I had played some NHL games. And now I come into this country and I go on the ice and I'm looking through the window, seeing mountains. Like, this was a freaking completely different world. And of course, it was Paul Popiel and myself, and I could play, obviously. And then the fun began. So hockey all of a sudden, I didn't realize what was coming. And all of a sudden we started playing and the fans started coming back. By Christmas, we played a Christmas tournament against Augsburg, and then Cologne was coming in, the big German team, back to back. We had about 4,000 people against Zorilla was the goalie, the world-class goalie. And I remember this distinctly. It was my first year. I think I scored off the first faceoff 7 seconds in. I got three or four, and we basically upset Augsburg with the great goalie. And the next night, Martin, there was 8,000 or 10,000 people at the game against Cologne. And they're freaking screaming my name. I go, this is not normal. We lost 12-1, which we weren't too happy about because they were ready for us. But I think just the whole culture, and I didn't expect the welcome I got once I started playing. I started scoring goals because I could always score and stick handle. And I'd be deking guys and putting it under the cross. The fans were going freaking bananas. And I remember I was with my girlfriend at the time, and we'd come out after the game, and the place is mobbing. We go into the restaurant in the front, and I'd have five people around me and Linda protecting us. They were our little bodyguards. I said, this is freaking unbelievable. So a lot of exciting stories. Just when I first got here, it was just a different culture, a different life. And my plan was basically to come for 1 year. And I ended up staying for 15. So disappointing times, losing in the finals in 85. I was actually in the Austrian Army. I did go into the Austrian Army. And I had Christmas cards. I was 29. I flew over July 2nd. So there goes my golf summer. I said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I have my Austrian passport. I'm going to go to the Army. I'm just going to do it. It was an experience. The guys in the Army treated me well. The big guys, I got them. And we had one of the best years we've ever had, including myself, which is interesting. I have some Army stories I can tell you sometime. We lost in the finals. Very disappointing. But, you know, I wish I could turn that back. We had 110,000 fans that year. Only second to Rapid in soccer. So it was a fantastic year. I feel bad that we didn't win it for the fans. We had a few cracks at it, but over the years. But that was a exciting year. I was in the Army. I met Christine, who I ended up marrying. The fan base was fantastic. Yeah, that was quite the year. I was 29 years old.
Doesn't sound like the worst kind of year that you had, even though it didn't net you a championship. But if you look at everything that happens in Innsbruck this year, how heartwarming is it to see full stands, Rosh's Arena, great offensive hockey that's being played? How does it make you feel?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. Because even back, do you remember in 2006 when I was coaching at Feelac and we won? We played Innsbruck in the semifinals.
7-game series.
And Todd Ellick, you know, was their leader. He was loved by the fans.
So 2 points per game in the playoffs, by the way.
What's that?
2 points per game in the playoffs. Incredible.
Yep. And he was the bad boy, the good boy, the great player. Fans loved him. It was so exciting that they ended up going from the TVAC, that smaller arena, over to the Olympia Arena where I used to play. You could open the curtains and see the mountains. We ended up moving to that side in the series because it was so much interest. And what a series it was. It went to game 7. And we had headbutting in between periods, me and their coach and all the players piling in. This is the excitement that it used to be. It was freaking exciting. So now they got teased the last 4 or 5 years. They got teased. They have really good teams and they play with 3 lines the whole year and they'd run out of juice. And for 5 or 6 years, they just didn't make the playoffs. They had really good players, but they just ran out of gas. So now the last couple of years, Mitch O'Keefe, he's figuring this out. They've got a little deeper cadre. They continue to get good players. they can survive an injury as they are right now. The fans, it's full just about every game. This, them beating Salzburg gives everybody in that city and that dressing room hope that they can win it all. It's fantastic. And you and your podcast group are going in exactly at the right time. You couldn't have written that script, Martin, any better. And Klaus Dalpiaz, retired number, was a great goalie. He's from Tirol. And Mitch O'Keefe, the coach, you got fantastic people coming on there.
Really, really looking forward to...
And you never know. Let's just keep it up.
Really, really looking forward to Saturday to Unibet Hockey O'Clock on Tour. It's happening at 6:30 at the TVAC Arena in Innsbruck. If you want to be part of it, head over to unibet.at and pre-register for some tickets. But coach, I also brought you on not to, only to talk about the Ice Hockey League, but also about the National Hockey League. A lot of things have happened since we last really talked about it on air. We had a big preview podcast at the beginning of October as regards the season, where you made a lot of predictions, and we're going to get to your predictions a little later. But if we go or talk about surprises, what is the biggest surprise this year in a positive way as regards the National Hockey League?
There's two. Boston Bruins, Seattle. Seattle tied for first place. What a story. Boston, Marchand was hurt, McAvoy hurt. They're old. Bergeron might retire. Okay, he's going to kick one more time. Krejci comes back. Is he too old? Wow. On record pace for the all-time most points. This caught me off guard. I think it caught Crosby. Sidney Crosby said, I read a quote a couple of days ago from the All-Star game. He said, we're all so close. There's so many teams that are so close, except for one, and that's Boston. He said, they're in a freaking world of their own. So what a compliment coming from Crosby. New coach Montgomery coming in, getting a second huge opportunity after having some off-ice issues. What a story for him. What a story for the Bruins. How they've built this team is freaking incredible. We can talk about that in a second if you like, why they are where they are. And Seattle. Seattle. Now you got Vancouver, the big rivalry, Vancouver-Seattle. It should be the other way around. The mess that's gone on in Vancouver. But Seattle, what a story. They're in first place. I think they're tied with LA for first, correct? And LA is a kind of a special story too. Nobody picked it. But Seattle, can you name me? I bet if you went around and asked people, name me five players in Seattle, most people probably couldn't. It's a complete team effort. That's a fantastic story.
I vividly remember us talking about the expansion franchise Seattle Kraken a year ago. And when Dave Haxtell was appointed head coach, we're like, he could be the right kind of guy for the program and the draft picks with Wright, with Beniers, and the extension or expansion draft picks that they had. We're like, this could be something that's boiling here. And eventually it took him 1 year, but Seattle indeed is a great story. But as you were alluding to Boston and everything that's making them great right now, why is it that they're so great? What is it that you're identifying that makes them great?
Okay, well, just take a look at their, like, if you look at their players, you know, Pastrnak leads the pack. This guy's an unbelievable player, right? So they bring Krejci back. What is he, 35, 36 years or 36 years old? He comes back from the Czech. Well, is he going to be too old? Is he in it? Well, he's got 42 points. Now, Zacha, pick it up, Zacha. The Zacha's got 35 points. Now, Lindholm. The guy's a player. He has the best plus minus in the NHL, plus 33. Well, who was the MVP a few years ago in the league? Taylor Hall. He's like was one of the guys kicking around. He's only got 32 points. DeBrusque, they were going to trade him. He wanted out. Get me out of here. All of a sudden, he's a player. Charlie Coyle. Now, okay, who's going to protect our guys? Now, let's not forget Bergeron and Marshall. I haven't even talked about it. This is deep. Okay, somebody going to touch our guys? We got Frederick Foligno. These guys can fight. They're tough. And they both have 19 and 20 points. McAvoy came back from the injury, 32 points. What about Gretzky? Plus 31, 19 points. And the goaltending, Swayman was going to be the man, correct? Well, he's played 21 games. Ullmark, 33 games, under 2 goals against, almost 94% save percentage. Okay, well, how's your special teams? Maybe that's their weakness. 25% power play, 86% PK. That answers that question.
Sorry, Coach, I have to intersect here because Linus Ullmark is the only goaltender in the entire league who's averaging less than 2 goals against per game in the entire league.
And Swayman was kind of supposed to be the guy. 1.90 goals against, and you are correct. And almost 94% save percentage. Their special teams are a couple of the best. This team is deep. If you're talking star power, you've got star players on your third line. What do they have? They have 11 players with 20 points or more. This is a fantastic start. You know, if you look at the Oilers, you know, they're playoff bound and the goaltending's okay, but they've got 2 of the best players in the world who are leading the pack by far. It's complete different chemistry how Boston's built.
Kind of reflects, or that kind of shows in the Unibet numbers. I, of course, as usual, ask a group of people at Unibet to provide me with some odds as regards the National Hockey League. And for the first time this year, the Boston Bruins are indeed the favorites for the Cup. It's odds of 1-6. They were 1-15 right before the year. And right after that, it's the Avalanche with 1-6.75. And then it's the Hurricanes with 1-10 odds. Is that properly, reflecting what's happening in the NHL right now?
Well, there's no doubt about that. Boston, this is not a run where they got on a 4 or 5 game winning streak. This is freaking unbelievable. And, you know, I'm just going to shift just a little bit to the New Jersey Devils, how they have been playing, led by Jack Hughes, 2 more goals last night. It's freaking incredible. The Devils are right there with LA being, you know, surprised too, the Jets, Dallas, not such a surprise. But Boston has earned this. I just read a thing what McKinnon said. They all believe in that dressing room. They have been injured this year. They've been beat up a little bit. They're still looking outside, and they're going to get into playoffs. I don't want to play them in the first round. They still feel they can bounce back when they get injury-free. McKinnon is a beast on the ice. He's a freaking beast. They feel they can win the Cup again. They just got to get it healthier, right? So, but Boston has earned this. It's the goaltending, the depth of the team, their defense. It's their whole package. And Montgomery, the coach, I've read, and the players, they're a little bit surprised at where they are. But boy, they're not going to let up, and they're not going to go in a major slump. They can survive 1 or 2 injuries because they played without Marchand and McAvoy at the start of the season for like first 10 games, and they were also winning. Deep and earned, and I say yes, they are the favorite at this point to win the Stanley Cup. And what a story, because Boston is a sports town.
And of course, as always, Unibet has a special offer for all new customers. It's a 400% welcome bonus. Just use the promo code HOCKEY-BONUS while putting in 10 euros into your new account for the first time and receive 40 euros for free. More details, as always, in the show notes of this podcast. And of course, listeners of this program know it's Unibet by players for players. No National Hockey League season without surprises in a good way. Obviously, everything that's happened to the Boston Bruins, but anything where you say, oh boy, I didn't see that one coming, that surprised me in a negative way.
Columbus. Like, they pick up Goudreau, and, you know, Lyon is supposed to, you know, he's healthy, he's going to go 50 goal. They're freaking dead last, like, shocking. And, you know, Chicago, San Jose, Ducks, Montreal is a little bit ahead of where they should because they're trying to get that Bedard pick. So sometimes they're playing too good. I would say the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, this team is supposed to be playoff bound. That is a shock. The ownership has become one of the hatest in the league and in the history of the game. How they treated the coach, Boudreau. Rutherford, a great GM in the past, now might quit. I just read he might resign. How he handled Boudreau, the comments he made about structure, you do not put that in the open. So that basically threw the coach under the bus. He should have been fired 2 months ago, not a few weeks ago. The poor guy's hanging on for dear life. They handled that with such disrespect. The only good thing that came out of it was his last game. The fans cheered his name in Vancouver. They gave him a standing ovation. He was crying on the bench. This is how emotional coaching becomes. The players were all upset. They walked in one after the other to say goodbye. Whether the structure was off or whether he was not the right man at that point is irrelevant. They handled this with no class. Trevor Linden, the great player there, just came out and said the same thing. They signed J.P. Miller to a long-term contract. They signed Besser. They signed the Russian. They don't sign the most important player. It was Horvat. No, sorry, I get a little excited, but I can't believe what's going on in Vancouver. And Columbus, for them to be, I think they're dead last in the freaking NHL. That's a shocker. And them in Chicago, I think they're right there. That is surprising. A surprise that's a little bit surprising, I would say Calgary, Florida, and Ottawa. But now, and the biggest player surprise on a negative part is Huberdeau. I think he's on course to get 40 points. He's a 100-point. Now, can he not fit in with the coach, with the system? Something's not on. Does he miss Tkachuk that bad? I mean, Tkachuk, how good's this guy been to Florida? 5 points last night. After the break, they beat Tampa 7-1. Tkachuk leading the way again. So Calgary might not make the playoffs. That would be a shocker. An absolute. Ottawa are on a three-game run. Their last three games, they've been playing really good. Okay, they beat Montreal twice. Beat one in Toronto. Yeah, they're outside looking in, so they're not going to make the play. That's a surprise, too.
A lot of surprises. No surprise that Connor McDavid is still Connor McJesus, and that's also been reflected by the Unibet odds. At the start of the season, the odds of McDavid becoming MVP or being a winner of the Hart Memorial Trophy were 3.75. Now it's down to 1.14, meaning it's a virtual lock. If we try to make an argument for why McDavid is not winning the Hart Memorial Trophy and hopefully barring injury, who would jump into contention if he has a burner of a second part of the year?
Well, there's a couple guys, one in particular. You know, I guess McDavid's like Tom Brady. Don't bet against Tom Brady. And I thought that Matthews is going to score 70 goals. And it just didn't happen, and he got injured. McDavid is better than ever, and they say he's got to shoot more. He's got 41 freaking goals. He's on pace to get, what, 65 or whatever it is. So if he continues, it's a shoo-in. Okay, now there's a couple other guys that are in contention. Outside, Tage Thompson at 68 points, 34 goals is a mega surprise. I tell you, the one guy, and it didn't start last night, it's been the whole year, as an MVP, I would go with Tkachuk. Tkachuk in Florida. And here's why. He's going to be right up in the top of the scoring. He's at the net all the time. He fights all the time. He's agitating everybody, a la Brad Marchand, all the time. He's got that freaking mouthpiece hanging out of the side of his mouth. This guy is a franchise freaking player. Now, if he gets up to the point, okay, they have to make the playoffs, number one. And so does, if for some reason, Edmonton does not make the playoffs, and Florida makes the playoffs, Tkachuk has an outside chance of winning the MVP of this league because he is the MVP of their team.
Just to follow up on that, according to the Unibet stats, which are always great, it's David Pastrnak who's right behind, well, not really behind Connor McDavid with 18, pardon, odds of 18. And then Jack Hughes with odds of 1 to 21. I guess you could argue those cases as well if you look back on the entirety of the season. But one interesting race that's almost over as well that I want to talk to you about is the race for the Calder Trophy. There is one odds on favorite. It's Matty Beniers. He's sitting at odds of 1 to 1.45. The next closest is Cole Perfetti with odds of 1 to 9. Does that properly reflect what has happened in the Calder Memorial Trophy race?
Okay, if I think back, my pick was Owen Power from Buffalo with Beniers finishing a close second. Power got his first goal a couple weeks ago and, you know, hasn't quite blossomed yet. Sabres still outside looking in, but they're close to making the playoffs. Tage Thompson with a story. So Beniers, yes, Beniers. And you got McTavish plays for the Ducks, you know, played for Team Canada U20, Perfetti by the Jets. And another guy in the top five, which was not seen coming, is Logan Thompson, the goalie for Vegas, because who would have thought Fleury gone, this guy gone, their other goalie getting hurt, they got no goal there. Well, who's this? Who's this guy? The guy's been pretty freaking good. So yeah,
we got a glimpse of him last year.
Yes, we got a glimpse, but now he's playing as a rookie in this league, and he's their number one goalie. So that's another good story. But Beniers, he's got great jump. He can score. Yeah, he's definitely the leader of the pack. No doubt about it.
If I had to put you on the spot, and I know it's a Stanley Cup playoffs, and we've seen so many upsets and surprises and everything. But as we're talking at the middle or beginning of February, and I know it's a long time until June, but your finals pick as of right now, and it might be wishful thinking.
Boston? Not just because they're in first, because of how they are in first, how their team is built. They could go up against Colorado, right?
Oh, boy. What a series that.
Oh, boy.
That would be.
Means, no, that would be absolutely the best of the best of the best.
Means the Stanley Cup drought for Canadian teams continues. Any chance that this could end this year?
Well, put it this way. Hellebuck's got 40. He's played 40 games in Winnipeg. He's got 25 wins. He's number one in the league. All not 92.3% save percentage. The Jets are up, tied there for first place. Because of Hellebuck, that could play great, the Jets, with my coach of the year pick bonus, that's one of my good picks. Goaltending so big in the playoffs, the Jets outside chance of winning it.
Wouldn't that be incredible? Waiting for a Stanley Cup since 92, 93, and then the Winnipeg Jets of all teams eventually.
All teams, yes. So bonus going in, taking the captaincy off the captain, like showing the courage to do that. The team is playing really good. They have a lot of great players. Hellebuck's played 40 games. He has 24 wins. It's freaking incredible.
As usual, it pays to follow the National Hockey League. As usual, it pays to follow the Ice Hockey League. I think we're in for exciting times. And the best thing about this, you're finally back. 2 weeks' time, not even, or less than 2 weeks' time, you're going to be back on air. We're going to have the distinct honor of broadcasting Linz against Klagenfurt, a huge game for the top six, and I'm really looking forward to having you there, Coach.
Hey, Martin, this has been fun, but you forgot to ask me like a couple things here. Who is the best defenseman at the moment in the league? The Norris Trophy. This is the shocker. This is the shocker to everybody. It's not Makar. It's not Hedman. It's not Yoshi. You know who it is.
Shoot.
Do you know who it is? 66 points. Erik Karlsson. What a freaking story that is.
Even though he doesn't make the playoffs?
Even though he doesn't make the playoffs. Because maybe he's going to get traded or would take a trade to go to a top team that has a run. But that's a turnaround story. Like, where did this come from? And what about the Vezina? Don't you have to throw in Oettinger from Dallas in there?
Has to be Omark, doesn't it?
Well, Omark, Oettinger, Hellebuck, and the job Martin Jones has done in Seattle is pretty impressive, too, with 23 wins. Very, very impressive goaltending. So, Mark, now you can see, did I follow the NHL and the Hockey League in Mexico?
That you follow everything.
And some quick studying this morning at 3 in the morning.
Which is what you normally do.
Which I do.
At 3 in the morning. You know what? One more thing, as we're approaching the last year, obviously, of Pulse 24 and Pulse 4 having the NFL rights and the Super Bowl inching closer, and you following the National Football League avidly as well, KC or Philly?
I'm going to go with Kansas City because my gut feeling was Philadelphia against San Francisco. They were very lucky. They didn't throw the red flag on that first touchdown because it was not a complete pass. Then Purdy got hurt. Philly did not look great until the last minute of the first half and a fumble from San Francisco. They're not going to get away with that stuff against Kansas City. And I love Mahomes. This is an interesting story. I love Mahomes being hurt a little bit, because he can't fly around like a wild man like he does, which is fantastic. He's a la Brady in the pocket more. It's a completely different look to his game, and he can do it. And their defense, they are a tough team. I'm going to go with San Francisco. And Tom Brady retiring put a tear in my eye when I saw that short message he had, because I've been reading it classy, and he's going to be missed by millions.
Definitely is, and apparently he won't be starting his broadcasting career until 2024. Yeah. So you might still be able to jump in and have a say in that as well. But Coach, we tackle the ice, we tackle the NHL, and now we tackle the NFL. Always great to be talking sports with you. Really looking forward to having you back on Pulse 24. It's going to be happening in 1.5 weeks. great to have you back on European soil.
Thanks, Martin. February 19th, Klangford and Linz is going to be a mega game. And shortly after that, we're going to run into the pre-playoffs and the playoffs. I'm looking forward to it. That's why I'm back in the country.
Exzellente Unterhaltung mit dem schönsten Sport der Welt.
Unibet Hockey. The Clock.